So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 74. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about theories, and theories that are everywhere. As always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya, who's back. Hey, Danya.
I'm back. I'm so glad to be back as well. It was so stupid. Like, the one episode, I was, like, so sick, guys, you would not believe. I couldn't even, like, open my mouth to, like, not cough like a lunatic. So I was in no fit state to record. And then I got really excited back the week after because we were going to be talking about Jin. And I thought, yeah, this is going to be great. Literally, like, 20
it was
minutes.
10 minutes. It was a 20.
Was
it was like 10 minutes.
It was between 10.
I think it was 10. We talked about it. We made fun of you. But, I mean, yeah. Like, we mourned you. I mean, yeah.
The power went out right before we were due to record. Like, done. And I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. Sorry. But we also have Caitlin with us this week. Hey, Caitlin.
Yay!
Yeah, and Ben, too. We have everybody here. Hey, Ben.
Hello.
Woohoo! What's
going Hello. On?
It's yeah. a party.
It is a party.
You're
in
all
here.
Invited.
It's to your party. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com.
And for Audible, today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free.
Look at that. You guys thought it was going to be me, but it wasn't me this week.
Surprise!
But please also don't use backslash, because that's a forward slash.
Yeah. Oh. audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. Get your free audiobook today, right?
If you don't want to sign up to Audible, though, you can support us in other ways. We have launched a Patreon, so you can check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some perks if you do end up pledging to us is that you can join our Discord chat. We talk about pretty much everything in there, from general Star Wars news to hockey if you're into ice hockey. We've got a little Voltron chat as well, because a few of us in there
Voltron.
Are Voltron Legendary Defenders fans, and season 3 dropped, and some of us were going to watch it at a different pace, so we didn't want to dump all the spoilers in one place. So we've got a cool Voltron chat as well, so if you like Voltron, talk about that. But yeah, we just have fun chatting.
You forgot about the pork potatoes. The pork potatoes.
Yeah, that's the most important.
The pork potatoes. Scroll up.
Oh.
The pork potatoes. You not see the little porgs that you can eat? Scroll up.
What?
In general chat. You guys missed it last week. Pork potatoes.
Did you listen to last week's episode?
Oh, those. Okay. Yeah. I was wondering what the heck they were. I was just like, what are they?
Yes, you can even see pork potatoes. They're tasty and cute all at the same time. Pork potatoes. Oh boy,
boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
It's gonna be a fun episode today, isn't it?
It is. Also perks for the Patreon. You can listen to us as we decide to be ridiculous as we're recording these episodes in our recording studio. We also have movie nights. Where we record audio commentary over the top of the movies and can listen to it. We also do After Dark episodes. Our first After Dark episode is up on the Patreon, so if you want to check it out for free, it's called Potter Wars, and we discuss Star Wars' 40th anniversary and Harry Potter's 20th and some comparisons between them, and it was a lot of fun. But if you just want to check out what they might be like for pledging, you can do that. But again, if you can't afford to support us via Patreon, we also have merch for sale on our website. We have t-shirts and button packs, and even if you don't want to buy one, send the link to a friend or just tell them about us, and maybe they might want to buy a t-shirt or a button, but just spread the word.
Yes, yes, yes. I think it's time for the news. Moving on to the news, we have some... See, this news to me, I feel like, I don't know, it still hasn't been confirmed, which is why I'm kind of hesitant about it.
It doesn't matter.
But this show is about theories, and it's a theory that this will be a movie.
Okay. So, according to The Hollywood Reporter, there is a Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi film in the works. Lucasfilm has tapped director Stephen Daldry, who did, Billy Elliot, right?
Billy Elliot. He worked, I believe, on a couple of episodes of The Crown, which he got an Emmy nom for.
Yeah, he did. He worked on The Crown too.
Incredible. Like, that series is so good. So if it's true, if this turns out to be accurate, and I have no reason to believe that this isn't accurate, The Hollywood Reporter aren't much for just unsubstantiated rumors. When they say they've got a source, it's usually accurate.
Yeah.
I would say about 98% of the time, 98% of the time, they are right. There is a very, very small margin of error with them, usually. So I have no reason to believe this isn't true.
Well, here's the thing is, I think Lucasfilm is tapping Stephen Daldry for something. Whether it is Obi-Wan or not, I wouldn't be surprised that their source is someone inside CCA, the people who rep him. The reason I'm hesitant with this, I'll tell you 100%, the reason why I'm hesitant is The Hollywood Reporter continues, like, in this article about it, says, Lucasfilm is also considering picks centered on Yoda, the Bounty Hunter, Boba Fett, and Obi-Wan. Like, those three character sort focused films were what we got 3 years ago as rumors about what the anthology films were going to be before we got Rogue One and Han Solo. Han Solo was never on anyone's radar, so when they announced it, it was like a what? Okay, and you hear the kind of about it, like,
it's just redundant. That's
Everybody's kind of like really, like, everyone's kind of like, huh, really about Han Solo? So the fact that this came out and they included the information about Yoda and Boba Fett, like, we knew there was going to be a Boba Fett film. Josh Trank was tapped for it until he went crazy with Fantastic Four.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that.
I don't say that it's not true, but at the same time, like, it makes me cast doubt that it is 100% true. Because, with that information, like, how do we know it is Obi-Wan and it's not something else? What if it's a Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan's in it?
I mean,
because I think Qui-Gon Jinn, like, early Jedi, early Jedi movie would be good, and having Obi-Wan as a young apprentice. Because I think it'd be harder.
It could still be about Obi-Wan in that instance. Like I said, when we wrote this news up on Hypeable, that realistically speaking, it's going to take place in one of, if this goes forward, it's going to take place in one of two eras. It's either going to be before the prequel, and it's going to focus on him and Qui-Gon prior to what we saw in the prequel trilogy, or it's going to take place after the prequel trilogy and before A New Hope and what he got up to during that time. We already know a little bit from Star Wars Rebels, but there's two kind of instances. Now, if you are on the Patreon, and I don't know if it was being recorded prior to this, but I was talking a little bit about Marvel Runaways. This is now going to come back and be very, very relevant, because the Runaway script, for example, in comparison to this, that Runaway script has been on the table at Marvel since before Iron Man was a film. That's how long that film has been kicking around on the lips of Marvel, and it is now being turned into a TV series through Hulu. Now, the fact that Boba Fett and Yoda are still being thrown around as ideas for being a solo film doesn't discredit this, because film companies will always have those options open, and whether they come to fruition or not is another thing entirely. But they can be in development for a very, very, very long time. look how long it's taken Runaways to get from script to fully realized project that's being released. Like,
the same could be said about Ghostbusters too. Like, think about the new Ghostbusters. That was in development. Like, a Ghostbusters 3 / that reboot Ghostbusters had been in development for, what, 15 years?
Exactly.
So I get things there, but I don't know. Like,
saying that Lucasfilm is also considering pictures centering on Yoda and bounty hunter Boba Fett, among other characters. So it's just saying that from what they've heard, those names are still being thrown around as potential standalone films. Not that they are coming, but those names are still in the mix. So this doesn't discredit this at all for me. It just kind of reaffirms that they are still on the table. Whether that those are properties that they will then move forward and actually take into full development to turn into film to then release, another thing entirely. It doesn't mean that they're not talking about it. In fact, I would be surprised if they weren't talking about it. They are probably two of the most iconic characters outside of, like, Vader and Han Solo and the original trio, and, you know, so that doesn't discredit this story to me at all. It still makes a lot of sense to me that those names are in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the biggest thing for me is the fact that Lucasfilm hasn't, like, stepped out in front of it with it coming out and being reported everywhere. Again, everyone is reporting, linking back to the Hollywood Reporter as the source, and they have someone else, but, you know.
But they don't need to. Why do Lucasfilm need to get out in front of a rumor? It's keeping their name on everyone's lips. It's getting people speculating, getting people talking about things. They'll confirm things in their own time. This isn't damaging their brand at all. It's just healthy speculation at this point and fans getting excited. If it was something like a lot of the talk that was happening around the shakeup on the Han Solo movie, they may start doing PR moves like releasing more photos from set or releasing more news or doing stuff like that. You know, Lucasfilm have absolutely no reason to get out in front of this. It isn't damaging at all. The reaction hasn't been inherently negative to this news. So they have no reason. They have no reason to try and get out in front of it. They can let it simmer for as long as they want. It's just keeping their name on everyone's lips for long.
Okay, so speaking of getting fans excited, there's someone on the show today I wanted to ask, what did they think about a Obi-Wan Kenobi Obi-Wan Kenobi film? So, Caitlin, tell me all about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I knew that's where it was going. That's why I was giggling.
All right, Ben, you can tell us. Tell me what you're excited.
Well, our young Ben is very pumped. Excited for the old Ben's movie.
The Ben tell movie us, tell, where tell, I know tell us about- for a fact... I know for a fact that Ben won't die in this movie because he dies in A New Hope. This is just amazing. Amazing news.
So your character won't die. Okay. That's all you're excited
basically,
about.
Basically, because Ben... No, but seriously, Ben dies in everything. So I'm ready for a movie where he doesn't.
But Ben didn't die in Force Awakens.
Yes, because he's... What, the trilogy's not over, dude.
All right. So Ben's excited for it. His character's namesake is not to die in a film. All right. Moving on.
If you want my ongoing list of movies where Ben dies, which I have kept for a very long time, I can send it to you.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez. I don't really want to.
But I'm just saying, we, the Bens of the world are underrepresented as a living population in movies.
You should put that in the Patreon.
There you go. Post that list. Actually, I want to see that list, like, for everyone to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to our next bit of news. Of course, more Han Solo movie news. Michael Kenneth Williams will be cut from the Han Solo film. Basically, with Ron Howard taking over and scheduling conflicts with him, he was unable to come back for any of the reshoots, so they've had to cut his character from the film and do some creative editing with what was there and with the reshoots.
So sad.
Which, You know, honestly, I'll tell you this. If his character was insignificant enough to be able to be cut and shot around, did it actually need to be in there? Like, it would be nice, I guess.
It's still sad.
It is, because he's an incredible actor.
No, I get that. I get that, but, you know... Alright, let's put it this way. Let's pretend it was Jonas, the guy playing Chewbacca. Do you think they can cut around and cut Chewbacca out of the film? No, he needs to be there. Donald Glover? No, Lando needs to be there. Not to say that he wouldn't have been a great actor. You know, he's won all sorts of things, very notable for, you know, his HBO The Night Of and everything. But I'm not too worried about it. Like, to me, I am a little sad for him because he's just like, yeah, it doesn't work. I would be sad if I was in a Star Wars movie and got cut out, but at the same time, I'm like, at least I was in a Star Wars movie and on set.
I mean, regardless, I don't think they have a choice. At this point, they have to stay. They have to stay on schedule. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the film's not going to come out on
time. Or come out at all.
Yes, they have absolutely... They don't have any wiggle room.
Especially... when he's not even available till, was it late November?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I feel like whether he had originally a bigger impact on the film or not, it's irrelevant because they have to work around that. They don't have the time to accommodate for people's schedules. Whereas, I feel like if they could have, they would have, but it's far too late into production at this point with everything that still needs to be done to get it complete, ready for release. Like, they don't have that they don't have that luxury that if they still wanted to include him to be able to work around the schedule. So it is, like you said, it is what it is. It sucks. I think I was quite excited to see him in a Star Wars film. We might still get like a tiny bit of him, but you know, regardless of their original intention for what his role may or may not have been, they're gonna have to make a lot of tough choices now with the Han Solo movie, because barring their main characters, who probably are locked into contracts that stipulate that they have to be available for reshoots no matter what, there may be people that they just can't get back, and that we might get a lot more of this.
Yeah. I expect this to kind of happen a couple more times for just different people, yeah. But
absolutely. But at the same time, like, I don't think he'll be the last one.
No, he won't. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, when you have different actors, especially actors who are in demand, you know, it's definitely something that could, you know, it's just going to happen with, like, you know, different schedule conflicts and stuff. So I'm not happy about it, but at the same time, I'm not really sad because we don't know what we've lost yet. Does that make sense? Like, I wonder if we'll ever get a weird direct, you know, Phil Lord, Chris Miller director cut of Han Solo at some point in time ever or anything like that. Maybe. I don't think so, though, but... You know, it would be interesting to see some you know, how that contrasts to what actually gets released with Ron Howard. But, you know, at the same time, I'm kind of like, I'm happy with just waiting for Ron Howard's film, because I like Ron Howard as a director, and I have more faith in the film now with it. Does that make sense? No?
I mean, you do you, I guess.
You do you. You I'm do you.
Really excited for the Han Solo movie review episode in...
May. It being the best Star Wars film yet, and all of you are going to eat your words, and I'll be like, check it out, Lando, off the chain, dude. Off the chain. Like, I'm going to be dapping, here, and you won't even see me doing that. Like, it'll be fire. Can I say those types of words and pull it off or no?
I don't know. That was really weird, Mikey. I'm not going to lie.
Wait, hold on. Somebody save that recording and we'll play it on that episode.
Oh, God.
And then people will know. That Mike
that I was right. Anyway, it's kind of like when I said that, you know, Rey is Luke's daughter, and I'm going to be right, and everyone's just going to be like, okay, Mikey was right all along. So, moving on, we'll get to that.
When the Han Solo movie comes out, we're going to know that Rey is not Luke's daughter, and you're going to be sad. And then the Han Solo movie is not going to be as good as you wanted it to be, and you're going to be more sad.
Ben, I'm just going to mute you right now. Like, you're going to lose all talking privileges on the show. Anyway, moving on to
what we really need is a compilation of every time Mikey references that Rey is Luke's daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys have fun work ahead of you.
We need to get that compilation together so we can play it.
Anyway, moving on. Of course, The Last Jedi has its own Force Friday, which is taking place on Friday the 1st of September. But thanks to lots of different retailers, including Walmart, we have seen a ridiculous amount of toy leaks, including one I just posted in, which is a really cool Japanese Lego set. So what do you guys think about? I don't want to go into too much like leaking stuff, but just looking through some of the toys that are out there right now, what do you guys think of them? Is there anything that you're like really excited for without being too spoilerish?
Snoke!
Snoke looks like he's wearing a really cheap gold.
I love gold! I feel like Austin Powers looks like gold member or something like that.
I can't take him seriously anymore, especially when they have him bent sitting in the chair.
With his feet just sticking straight up. Yeah. Snoke.
Okay, so after seeing this, like, yeah, it looks really weird. But, like, I think I'm going to wait till the movie comes out to judge Snoke in person because Andy Serkis. But, you know, maybe we'll.
Yeah, but, like, just look at this here. Like,
gold robe gives him, like, scary gold robe powers or something. I don't know. Like, maybe it's actually.
I love gold.
Yeah, we don't know.
We knew about Snoke and his gold robe for a while. Like that's been kind of out there for a while and talked about, but seeing it in an action figure form, of course it's not even cloth. It's like plastic, molded plastic. So when you see him sitting in the chair, it's like just all like open up like a bottom dress type thing.
What if it's that way in the movie?
Yeah. Oh, maybe it is that way in the movie. It's like plastic.
What if he actually wears like a solid gold robe that actually looks like that when he sits down in the movie?
Then that's cool for him, but yeah, not gonna. Yeah,
there's more of a chance of that than Rey being Luke's daughter.
Oh my gosh! Like I said, somebody wants to lose speaking privileges here. Let's move on. Moving on to some of this.
Actually, I have unpopular opinion. Potentially, okay.
Yes,
I am tired of the polls already.
You mean you're not tired, you don't love the Furby version of the porgs that are in the box just kind of chattering back and forth?
I'm kind of over it. Like,
not gonna lie, I found it extremely annoying. Though, like, first time I watched that video, I was like, that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, the porgs.
The porgs. Right, the porgs. When I saw them initially, I was like, aw, cute.
Yeah.
In that sort of. Oh, that's really sweet. I kind of like them. I like this idea that Rian Johnson has taken the natural wildlife of Skellig Island and kind of done his own spin on it to kind of pay tribute to that, but within the Star Wars universe. Like, I thought that was a really nice little touch. And I just thought, yeah, okay, the porgs are really cute. And I get it. They're adorable. They need to push the merchandise. They really, really just... The more money they get in, obviously, gets poured back into the film. Fine. I'm just exhausted already to the point where I just don't want to see them anymore. And... Because it's been too much. And I might change my mind, because they did the same thing with BB-8 before The Force Awakens. Like, they were pushing, like, BB-8. BB-8 is cute. BB-8 is a new droid. Blah, 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 blah. Right before the movie.
And then obviously, you fell in love with him, though.
I did fall in love with BB-8. Like, really hard. And I adore BB-8. But I feel like the major difference is going to be BB-8 is a staple character who is going to keep going through this trilogy. Whereas the porgs are very much going to be isolated to Skellig Island.
So kind of like those things that are on Endor, right? Those other furry creatures that were for toys.
Look, Mikey, I wasn't alive around the time when that was all happening. So
neither was I. I was born after the movie, but I watched Caravan of Courage.
I was going to say, I didn't see them marketing that to try and push the toys. So
marketing would have been different in the 80s as well.
Yeah, so I can't tell you that if it so happened that the marketing for the Ewoks was as obnoxious, then maybe I would have felt differently. But realistically speaking, I had no concept of marketing around the original trilogy because I just wasn't alive for it. So I couldn't tell you. Whereas I can definitively tell you with the Porgs, they're being obnoxious.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this.
The tents.
There we go. Brack has jumped in here saying, yeah, it was nowhere near as intense as it is.
That's true. And I don't think anyone could have, you know, marketing has definitely changed pretty significantly. You know, but you got to remember there's also Star Wars films that were made with Ewoks, the Ewok Adventures. You know, there was two standalone Ewok movies that were not Star Wars movies. Like, that's definitely an advertising thing, if you will.
Well, yeah. But anyway, I mean, it was clearly done in a way to try and push and sell Ewok toys, particularly probably to kids, which is fine. It's just, I feel like right now, everything is about Porgs. That I'm seeing everything.
Uh-huh. I would like a comic strip of BB-8 and the Porgs, and they just constantly fight to see who's cuter.
BB-8.
Okay, that's fine. You win. moving on, I will say I do find it interesting that there is a set of Star Wars mugs that have come out by Zach, if you will, Disney and Zach. The Kylo Ren, the Phasma, Porg, Praetorian Guard, and then there's the Death Star mug, Chewbacca, Vader, and the classic trilogy Stormtrooper. I feel like these mugs were kind of like an afterthought, like, interesting to me, because, like, if you're doing it as Last Jedi merchandise, like, cool, you got Kylo Ren, you got Phasma, Porgs, obviously, Last Jedi, Praetorian Guard, Last Jedi, then you have, like, instead of, like, the Force Awakens Stormtrooper, you have the classic trilogy Stormtrooper, which I think is kind of weird. And then you have the Death Star in there also. Like, Chewie, I guess he is part of, like, the Last Jedi. But, like, Vader and the old Stormtrooper in Death Star, I just feel, like, kind of out of place and odd.
Not gonna lie, I'm not sure how you're supposed to drink out of some of these.
Also, does anyone else find it really creepy that you are drinking out of the
yes.
hollowed-out heads of all of these yes. things?
I don't feel like creepy. I have a bunch of these types of mugs, like, from
I think that's
like,
a so long creepy. Time ago.
Like, it's, excuse me while I drink the brains.
Yeah.
I don't you feel like you're in Indiana Jones eating the monkey brains? Tasty? No?
I prefer not to.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, these kinds of mugs always freak me out. I'm not really into them at all. They're just really creepy.
Okay. The last last thing I want to talk about with the new toy leak is the Hot Wheels cars. You'll see the reason why is if you look at the Rey Racer, it's got a blue windshield like her blue lightsaber. And then there's the Luke Racer, which is the kind of the tan and brown, which is like his robes, but then he's got green wheels and a green windshield, which again, we have not seen Luke and his lightsaber at all, but this is kind of almost telling that maybe we will see his lightsaber. Do you guys agree or no? Or do you just think they chose green and make it look like a Yoda, even though it's a Luke racer?
Considering that they are including original trilogy merchandise mixed in with The Last Jedi for the mugs, wouldn't take a Hot Wheels car as an indicator of what lightsaber Luke may or may not be using. They may have just done it so that they're not using the same color as Rey.
I guess I would say, okay, I can believe that, except my argument would be, you know, when you look at the pictures, there's Kylo Ren and Snoke. Kylo Ren is the black with the little, you know, silver and red, and then Snoke is all gold. R2-D2 and C-3PO are blue and gold.
What if Luke's is, like, the color of his robes, and then the green is, like, the grass on Ahch-To or something?
Oh my gosh, Ben, you are so, like... I'm gonna
guess who's playing devil's advocate now, Mikey.
I'm done with you, Ben. I'm done with you, Ben. I am done with you, Donya. Why don't you lead us into this next story? Because I'm fuming here over here. Because just because I have to think about, like, okay, Rey is Luke's daughter, and be okay with it. Okay, we're good. Anyway,
do you mean the thing that I wrote today?
Yeah, the thing you got to the fan fiction. I mean the wonderful article.
Oh, it was absolutely not fan fiction.
No, and you
he's
know
never
what,
read fan fiction. If you think
honestly, honestly though, I agree with you 100% on all of them. So it's okay.
So
I can't play counteractive to you at all.
So I got a little bit frustrated. I think it was in the early part of this week. Because obviously after the Obi-Wan news drop, we saw the Yoda and Boba Fett kind of rumors come back as well, but then there was like Jabba the Hutt being like thrown around. As a
we both kind of went off on like the people that were releasing this news. We're like, this doesn't make any sense at all. Sorry. Yeah.
So I was kind of like, okay, Jabba the Hutt, fine. I guess that would make Diego Luna like really happy, but
get to touch him. Jabba.
But oh, Jabba. Kind of, yeah, so I was kind of going on this thing that like the standalone films all have one thing in common so far that they've done is that they're all expanding on characters we've already been introduced to and seen multiple times or gotten a significant part of their story already. So instead of expanding the Star Wars universe as far as it could possibly go, they're just keeping it really centered on just like what we already know. You know, Rogue One took a chance and kind of went off the beat track, even though it came like it was almost like a midway point for the film, so it was like a right before A New Hope. So it was within like a time frame that is very, very familiar, but the characters were new, and they had some threads connecting it into the original trilogy, just enough to kind of be a reminder without it being overbearing. But everything since then that has officially made it into production or is being filmed is just kind of like, well, now you're just playing it safe. So I kind of came up with four ideas for standalone films that I really would want to see that would, I guess, challenge this sort of idea of expanding the Star Wars universe out. So the one that is probably the most obvious because I've been banging this drum for I don't know how long, but if they really, 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 really want to do this thing where they connect it quite closely to the main continuity, they could go with something to do with Shara Bay, because that would connect into new trilogy because she is Poe's mother, but she's not only Poe's mother, like she is a very decorated A-wing pilot who was flying at time of the war against the Empire. She was part of the Green Squadron when they had the assault on the second Death Star. She went on missions with Leia on Naboo. She also helped Luke with getting those two Force-sensitive trees that went back with one went back to Yavin 4, the other one went with Luke. Presumably he was taking it back, or wanted to take it back eventually to First Jedi Temple. So, you know, if they wanted to go with something that connects in really, really closely to the new trilogy, while also maybe still having some ties to the original trilogy, this comes in like an interesting place because it affects the trajectory of a character that we know in the future while still intertwining with timelines and characters that we're sort of familiar with still. So I thought that would be really, really interesting, and it could also tell a really interesting story about the scope of the war outside of the Skywalker narrative. because everything has been very centered on that narrative. But that war, considering we know the Empire didn't just end immediately after the Emperor was defeated, you know, it would give a bigger scope of the war, but also how it would affect a really young family trying to do their duty by fighting the Empire, but also trying to balance their family life. Because Poe was born just 2 years after the Battle of Yavin. So he didn't see either his mum, Charabey, or Kes Dameron's father very much at all in his younger days. He stayed at home with Shara's father. So I think it's just a really interesting dynamic that they could play with. Other things that I think they could do to like really shake it up a little bit is do something with the Old Republic. So using like the Knights of the Old Republic games jumping off point to kind of take it a lot, like back a lot further, because everything that we know has this kind of modern feeling to it. We've only ever really seen or known the Sith after the Rule of Two came into play. So it would be really, really interesting to actually see the Jedi and the Sith as kind of spiraled into the conflict that we've come to know. So I feel like that would work really well. Also thought it could be really interesting, considering they're bringing in all of these ancient Jedi concepts and the focus on the Force recently, to go all the way back to the beginning. Because this original trilogy presumably is going to wrap up and give a conclusion to the Skywalker saga. So it would be really interesting to see what the catalyst for the Jedi and potentially the Sith was in the first place. So going all the way back and seeing the first Jedi, how it all started, how it came to be, maybe a little bit of how it's twisted over time from its intention. Because it's almost like passing a message along between you. Like it's always going to change and develop and evolve from its original intent. And also, like, the creation of the first lightsaber. Like, what happened there? I just think that would be a really interesting story to tell. As maybe the Skywalker saga is ending, you kind of counterbalance it with this idea of how it all began. What meant that we even got Skywalker saga beginning. And the other thing is, like, anything to do with the Mandalorian. Like, it's absolutely insane to me the fact that we haven't really had anything that specifically focuses on them in a big way in the like in the movies, because there's so much there that they can pull from. Like, you've got the first Mandalorian Jedi, Tav Isla, and you've got the Jedi and Mandalorian Wars, and you've got the Siege of Mandalore. Like, there's so much that you could draw from, but, like, particularly for me, I want to see Tav Isla. Like, we got a little description of those events and the events of, like, the Darksaber in the Trials of the Darksaber episode in Rebels. Like, I want to see the cinematic version of that so much. Because Star Wars is already kind of fantasy-esque, but, like, the story, as was kind of touched on in Rebels, would be, like, epic space fantasy. And I'm, like, 2000% there for that, and I want. But basically, this article was written out of frustration for like, do something different, basically.
No, I agree with you. Like, I think they should definitely do something different. And I'll say, the Charabey one was very interesting to me, especially because you have the comics as kind of a stepping point for it. Too, yeah. And then I think like Old Republic, there's been people who would love to do it as a TV series, and I think it has so much already written that can be introduced and moved into canon. Everything from like story arcs of Darth Bane and Revan and stuff like that, to just like the old Jedi Order and everything like that, and the battles between like the good and evil there. So I feel like some of these don't necessarily need to even be movies, but like introduced to different medias. You know, so I was absolutely in love with your article here, but I think it also came from both of our frustrations of just being like, oh, the Yoda and the Boba Fett and Obi-Wan rumors back again. I'm like, it was cool when it was going to be like the first movies, but now we've had things like Rogue One and we have the Han Solo film, which, again, I'm going to assume positive intent and hope that it's good, but it is definitely kind of one of those things where we're like, they need to expand further to keep not only
currently
people who are casually interested regularly, because I know I'll stay with it no matter what, because I just love Star Wars. I grew up with it, and I know all of you will too, but you know, think about like your friends who go to the movie with you when you see it, you know, at 8 o'clock when it first comes out the first day. Are they going to stay with it if it's like the same stuff over and over again? That's where my concern would be.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, no, because I absolutely have the same concern. I don't. This is the thing. I don't want
a story about the first Jedi.
I don't want to know the full stories of everyone that we've already been in.
That's the first Sith.
This is why, like, for example, I guess a few people will probably like be like, "Oh, why did? Why not a young Leia movie?" Well, for the same reason that I don't particularly want a young Han Solo movie is that quite easily be explored in like books or graphic novels or just comics in general, but also we know enough that it's interesting and leaves a little to the imagination. You don't need to tell everyone every single explicit detail of every aspect of that character's life and backstory and history. You can reference it and like leave a little space for people to imagine. Like sometimes it's the way that people interpret that in their own way and share stories and share their version of events and kind of bounce off each other and speculate, kind of go, well, this is how I feel that this particular scenario that was referenced in like one throwaway line may or may not have played out, etc., etc. Like, that's how you keep a fandom alive and thriving, is space to be able to imagine and dream up your own thing. It's why, like, people will crap on fanfiction as much as they want, but fanfiction is such a phenomenally interesting medium in that it allows people space to play in a sandpit and explore their own voices and stories within the parameters of like characters they know and love. And if you continue to just focus on the same ones over and over and over again until you bleed every single possible thing from them until there's nothing left for them to speculate about, then why do they need to keep that alive? It doesn't make any sense. And it's weird because, like, the Leia books, particularly Claudia Gray's, like, I love them. I think they're incredible. But usually they take, like, one snippet of a scenario and kind of expand over that. Books kind of work slightly different way. But the movies have to cover so much. And I'm worried that it's just going to take the fun out of things a little bit because we're going to know too much. And I was actually talking to someone at my day job the other day about the Han Solo movie. And it's basically I think I pinpointed a little bit why I'm not that interested in Han Solo specifically. It's because we're not going to get any character growth. Because by its very nature, we can't get any character growth, because then it invalidates everything that happened in the original trilogy. The whole point is that he goes from inherently selfish, terrible smuggler right at the start to growing as a person through the end of the original trilogy. That's the point. You can't have that sort of character arc in the Han Solo film, because by its very nature, it'll invalidate the journey that he has to go through in the original trilogy. So you just have to have him basically being a jerk through the whole thing. And honestly, the one thing that I really do not need right now is watching a movie about a white guy being a jerk, traveling, being a jerk. You know, I think I pinpointed on exactly why this has got my back up as much as it has. And it's that it basically, there's no room for character growth, because it's too difficult to make that work, because he still needs to end that film in the place where he begins the original trilogy, which is probably the same place that he started at. It's so...
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that, so that's where it goes to. But I do want to get into our spotlight topic, because we've been going on for a while in the news here. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have a couple different theories here. And one that I will take beyond the fact that Rey is Luke's daughter is that I've read recently is that Rey is the chosen one. So I guess if she's the chosen one, she's actually the reincarnation of Luke's dad, Anakin. So I'll take that they're related and not Han and Leia's daughter. But basically, one of the things is, after the most recent Entertainment Weekly article referencing that Luke initially thought Kylo was the chosen one, they're beginning to wonder if Kylo still believes it. And basically, it comes down to Kylo was seduced by Snoke, who affirms to him that he is the chosen one, when in fact, Snoke has been searching the galaxy for a young Rey. Her caretakers hit her on Jakku, and they were killed, leaving Snoke to believe she is dead. As they had always planned to bring her to Luke for training. Could she have been raised by the followers of the Church of the Force? Plus, it justifies Kylo's obsession with his bloodline. He can't understand that a nobody could be the physical embodiment of the Force. Think of how he degrades her to just a scavenger, or when he says she is nowhere near as powerful as Vader. This is more upsetting because he knows who she is. So it really does add a lot to the emotion of way Rey and Kylo work, and it also would be a reason why Kylo would turn on Luke being seduced by Snoke. What do you guys think Rey being the reincarnation of Anakin, if you will, being the chosen Rey one in the Force?
Oh. Oh god, that was terrible. Much like this theory is. I actually
I wasn't going to go there, but okay.
Really don't like this theory. I don't like... One thing that really gets me about prophecy-led storytelling is a lot of it is super lazy. And it's a lot of the same problem as I have. I have problems with, like, prophecies in a lot of media. I think they're... It can be really interesting if it's pulled off well in the... you can subvert prophecy and do a really interesting narrative on choice versus fate, and how much is what you choose versus how much is fate to be. But at the same time, I don't know, I just, there's something about it that just makes me roll my eyes. I'm kind of like, I really, 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 really don't want this to come back around.
Okay, well, can I continue on with this, why the argument for this is? So the second one, the second link I posted ties into a little bit further was, Mark Hamill also said on an interview with Screen Rant that he believed Kylo Ren was the chosen one. So he thought that's what it was, you know. Again, with Mark Hamill believing it doesn't mean that Luke Skywalker believes it. But it also ties into... the idea of Snoke, who is ancient, been sending out these signals, which ties back into Clone Wars in the Alter Mortis, the story between the father, the daughter, and the son. What if Rey is the daughter, the light side incarnation of the Force, and Anakin was supposed to take over for the father. He was going to be the one to bring balance to the Force. And Ben is also a chosen one, but he's the one who's going to be the dark side, like the sun. So you literally have Luke now have to be, take the place of the father to bring balance between Kylo Ren and Rey. Again, that ties directly into Clone Wars, stuff that is canon, stuff that we've seen before, and it ties into, you know, all this stuff that it's Star Wars is going somewhere where it's never gone before. I know you don't like the prophecy type stuff, but this ties into stuff that we've seen in Star Wars that is canon, Danya. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, no, I know it ties in. It just, sometimes I find prophecy-based storytelling lazy, that's all. 'Cause it takes a lot to make it work without it being a little trite. And so it's possible. Do I think that they might go in this direction? Probably, because prophecies have kind of been baked so far into Star Wars mythology now that it's really hard to get outside of that a little bit. So, I prefer this idea of the Force kind of manifesting in different ways in terms of, like, a light side of the Force, a dark side of the Force, and a balance. Like, that is slightly more interesting to me than this reincarnation stuff.
Yeah, and my argument to this, like, for me to argue this, is if Anakin was supposed to take over for the father, his direct descendant, Luke, could take his place. You know, like, if you were to do, like, the, you know, the whole, you know, someone taking over his throne. And you have to remember, like, when it comes to Snoke, if Snoke is someone we've never seen before, you have to remember, going back to episode 16, The Altar of Mortis for season, was it, 3? Season 3 of Clone Wars, you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka were sent to discover the origins of mysterious distress call. How do we know it's not Snoke who is the, you know, origin of that distress call, searching out for the origins of the Force, you know, the representation of them? And so you have Anakin, who should have taken over, which would have brought balance and not had what we have happen, you know, which is like what you see in like the Force vision in those films, in those episodes. But, you know, have Luke take that spot. And then you have Rey, who's the reincarnation of the daughter, which is essentially like, again, maybe not Anakin, but, you know, be the representation of the light side of the Force. And Ben, who, again, comes down to his obsession with bloodlines, you know, thinking his father was the one who, or his grandfather should have been the one, but him being having fallen to the dark side, being the reincarnation or embodiment of the sun in these kind of arguments, this kind of story here. So I really like this as a overreaching story, because when they talk about what happens after episode 9, this right here, because they've seen it in Clone Wars, and if this is what actually plays out, it allows more to be discovered and developed around this specific kind of idea of, is there a balance between it? And I know, Caitlin, you've just rewatched all of Clone Wars. So what do you think about the Luke being the father, Rey being the daughter, and Ben being the son, and actually them being the embodiment of the Force?
Well, I love the mythology that episode provided, and I would love to just dissect it alone. But the only problem is that there's a hole in the theory, in the sense that although Rey is supposed to represent the light, I don't think... like, maybe it's a diluted version of what the light side's supposed to be, but she's not 100% light. And then, well, and then that also puts a hole in my theory, so hence why maybe I'm not leaning toward that. And you can't, Kylo Ren is not, to me, the epitome of dark. Should it not be Snoke, then? Like, you're telling me Kylo Ren is more representation of the dark side than Snoke is?
Well, and that's where it might be that, you know, what if Snoke is, like... again, he's this ancient person, so the problem is Snoke is the wild card in a lot of this. He really is. Like, we just don't know.
Unless he's the original son.
You know, and so, and yeah, unless he's maybe the original son. He's the one that survived. You know, maybe that's what it is. And if you really, actually, as I look at the picture of the ones right now, Snoke actually kind of looks like the son. You know, the father and the daughter are dead. If Snoke is the sun, he is the original embodiment of the dark side of the Force. That actually would make a lot of sense, even if nothing else was to be there. Like, this is where I might go to it. I need to take it.
Hashtag Snoke theory sucks.
So my Snoke theory might be it's gonna suck, but I'm gonna say it for right now and be like, you know what, I like this. This is interesting that if Snoke is this guy right here, why not? He's the son. Like, it could be. Maybe I should, you know, tweet it. You know, Hidalgo.
You're welcome.
This. I don't know. Thank you. I don't know. That's my crazy theory right now. I can't wait to see The Last Jedi because this is going to be. There's just so much going around. And then the best part about this also when it comes to theories, like, I love how everyone's theory revolves around Leia, Rey's parents, Luke, Ben, Snoke. And we kind of forget that we have, like, Poe and Finn who are going to have, like, huge backstory development in these films also. So, all right, I'll let you guys move on.
Theories, like, revolve around characters we've known. Well, aside from Rey, like, characters we think, like, go back. Rather than like characters we were just introduced to, because even with Snoke, you're tying it to like Clone Wars and stuff. That's, you know, that's going back to something we know. That's not just Force Awakens. Whereas like I think Poe and Finn, even though Poe we have like his mom and everything like that, you know, I don't think it's as intriguing because they're not Force sensitive people that we know of.
I mean, you don't know. Like, this is the thing: is that there is some speculation over the fact that because Shara was so good at like at what she does, she was at least mildly Force sensitive. Right.
And also Poe's a great pilot too. So like,
yeah, there's
know,
a little
maybe
bit...
it's like in the Han Solo kind of way where it's like, you know, Force sensitive but not like Jedi material.
Yeah, well,
so you're talking about, like, they have, like, 25 midichlorians, and they can kind of talk to it, but not completely?
Yeah. They have a low midichlorian count.
Yeah. I know, with a low midichlorian count, they can still have the Force, but not be able to manipulate it completely. I'm just saying, we talked about this when we talked about, you know, it was me and you, Caitlin, right? We talked.
Yeah.
I love midichlorians. This makes me so happy that I get to bring it up in this theories episode. Danya, what do you think about midichlorians?
No.
Yeah.
We know.
Yeah. I will say, I'm going to jump back. Brack brought up a really good point with this theory, that they said, I think that's a lot of backstory to introduce to a large portion of the audience that never watched Clone Wars.
Yeah, but the same thing could have been said about bringing in a character like Saw Gerrera, who they didn't even explain at all.
Yeah, but they don't need to.
Well, they don't need to bring up. They don't need to bring up the previous ones at all. It could just turn out to be the way it is.
That, like, Rogue One was a movie kind of for Star Wars fans. It wasn't a movie to try to get new Star Wars fans, like Force Awakens was.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that.
So they had a license to put stuff like Saw Gerrera in there. And then I actually kind of backs up the whole, like, yeah, it's hard to... Because Last Jedi is going to be a mainstream Star Wars audience. Maybe introducing that, yeah, would be kind of iffy, because it's not a standalone like Rogue One was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'd agree with that.
I don't know, because, again, like, I feel like they could do something like this. Like, I feel like they could, even though it would be...
They would need a good, like, they need a good 5-minute exposition scene to cover stuff like that, though.
Brack back with great comments again. You didn't need to know Thor's whole backstory to understand the role he played. Which is true. All you needed to know was that he was an extreme part of the rebellion, and people disproved of him. And he was just trusted.
Well, and so going back to my theory, the same thing could be said. You don't have to know, you know, Snoke's background as the son to understand that Luke is going to be bringing the balance of the Force, and Rey is the embodiment of light, and, you know, you have Kylo being darkness. And if you take a look at the first trailer for The Last Jedi, and he says, "What do you see?" The light, and guess who's saying that? That's, you see Leia, you see, you know, all the Resistance, and then you see the dark. Which is, you see Kylo Ren there. And then, you know, he talks about bringing balance. Like, if it's time for the Jedi to end, it's time for the Jedi as it was to end. And Luke is to bring balance to it. So, you know,
Mikey
maybe...
Mikey has basically found his new Luke's daughter, Hilda Dyer.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's either okay. Gonna, well, but see, but then they're going to be related because they're embodiment of the Force, just like Anakin was. So it is like they're related through the midichlorians.
Yeah, so the embodiment of the Force. Die on is what you're telling.
Maybe. Or it could just be, you know, flat out daughter, and they're going to be like, Daddy, I love you.
Wow, that took a turn really quickly.
Moving on.
All right. Ben, why don't you tell us your theories that you have going on here? Because I obviously, you know, okay. You guys would disapprove of mine.
I mean, I never said that outright.
No. So, just implied.
Yeah, it was just very, very heavily implied. So, but anyway. Yeah, so I can start with, well, yeah. Let me start with the short one, which is more of an observation than a theory, but I rewatched parts of Force Awakens recently, and I actually never noticed this until now that I've seen and like heard a lot about Last Jedi, but the very first scene that Snoke is in, he says, oh my gosh, he does that thing from the first trailer where he says, you know, there's been an awakening, have you felt it? And then he said, whoever this... Or where, if the Resistance gets this map that was in BB-8, it'll lead him to the Last Jedi. The words "the Last Jedi" are said in The Force Awakens, which I never even knew. And then after that, he says, "And if they find him, the new Jedi will rise." So I just think it's a cool kind of notion that like Rey could possibly be one of many, and there could be sort of this a new order of Jedi coming out of nowhere. But that's based solely off of that one line from the first time you ever talked to Snoke. So like that's sort of not necessarily a theory, but more of like a, oh, that would be really cool if they followed through.
and then you also have like Luke say it's time for the Jedi to end. So
yeah, but we've
you know.
All kind of agreed that that's probably just line splicing.
Could it be? I don't know.
I think it is. But that's fine. Anyway,
I hope it is.
let's see what else. Going into like a legit kind of theory as the whole Leia and Han are Rey's parents, which from watching Force Awakens, and I know Caitlin, you know, can chime in on this too, because I know that she thinks very similarly, after having watched Force Awakens, just the way that Han and Leia kind of looked at and talked to Rey throughout the movie, and then also that would justify why Leia hugged Rey first when she got off the Falcon rather than Chewie.
Well, that was also talked about by J.J. Abrams as a misstep.
Yeah, it was, but you can fix that misstep if this theory is correct. But also, the fact that when Kylo Ren's officer comes to him and says they were accompanied by a girl, he knows, like, he's really concerned. He's like, what girl? I don't think it was like a... You know, oh, random girl. Oh, no, not another person to deal with. I think it was like, crap, there's someone on Jakku, or maybe, you know, just...
What girl? It's the embodiment of the Force. You know? She's the real chosen one and not him.
Yeah.
Hey, Mikey, not your theory right now.
I'm just saying, like, they talked to me during my theory. I'm just saying.
No. They talked to you about your theory during your theory. They didn't. Try
I am
to
talking about
the,
his theory. I agree. What girl? The other forces.
But anyway, and I also think rewatching the scene where Han offers her the blaster and talks about how he needs someone to take over. Knowing Han Solo, like he wouldn't have done that so easily unless he really, really trusted the person. And if he was responsible for having left Rey on Jakku, I'm sure he felt bad because it was probably in order to protect her from Kylo Ren.
You know, Han Solo did that to Luke Skywalker too. In A New Hope, before he left, he's like, "Hey, you're pretty good in a fight. You sure you want to do all this? You can come with us." He offered him to leave the rebellion. So it's not like, you know, you can't say that, you know. You think okay. It's his daughter well, because of that experience. Unless you think that like Luke is actually Han's brother, then there's a different story there too.
Yeah.
Because
the last
like, just,
thing I think that I really love that kind of like puts this theory kind of in the foreground for me is the Last Jedi poster for Leia. She's wearing a ring that's a mother's ring, and there are two stones in it. One of them probably being Ben, and then the other one you know, I mean, there's two. So my theory would be that the second one would be Rey. And if it's not, then is there someone else, like, out there that we don't know yet?
Like Han? He's dead now.
Han? Well, Han's not her kid.
Eh. You know, she still loves him and he's dead. Like, I don't, you know, here's the thing is, like, you're also taking, like, the mother's ring would be something that you would have in our society versus something in, you know, Star Wars society. And at the same time, we're also looking at a ring that maybe has no significance at all either, but possibly. Well, no, again, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here too. So
I need to find it.
I actually saw a theory where, Leia's ring looks a lot like the ring that Snoke's wearing in the toy pictures.
Uh-oh.
So Leia maybe... is Snoke.
Hashtag your Snoke theory sucks.
Oh, boy.
That's funny.
All right, well, I said all my piece about that theory. well, actually, no, I do have one more thing.
Because it's like...
Is it, if Leia and Han were Rey's parents... We already have to say that they're pretty bad parents, so they let Ben fall to the dark side the way they did. But at the same time, you're going to say they stranded their daughter and they forgot who she was? Like,
no, I don't think they forgot. I think they don't. They can't tell her yet.
That or like, something happened where they, like, whether she was removed and they thought she was lost or, like, she was kidnapped.
Yeah, but then, like, I don't know, like, if you, like, if you like, think, also, like, if, like, you're taking the arguments that, like, they Han hugged left, her first and stuff Han like that, like, the... that they're, you know, if you take that they hugged her first and all that stuff is, like, they know it's her daughter, and then, like, they don't tell her, it's like, wait a minute, we've been looking for you for years, like, you're just gonna keep that a secret?
Yeah, it's, mine, like, from my perspective, like, I don't necessarily believe it's true, it's just, I remember sitting in the theater watching it going, is Rey Leia's daughter? Like, it was just this, like, vibe that I got while I was in there. I guess it was just in the subtleties and, like, me trying to, like, predict what was going to happen or the little things and their insistence on hiring brunette, brown-eyed white chicks. But
now, I will say this. I will say this. And, you know, as much as I want let Rey to be Luke's daughter... I will say, going from the EU, you know, Han and Leia had three kids, but a set of twins, Jason and Jaina Solo. At the same time, I kind of, at one point, had hoped that was true, and Rey and Ben are related, because then it would have been closer to the EU and bring that stuff back, especially when you consider, if you want to argue, like, they are, you know, they've taken a lot of stuff from the EU and brought it back to make it canon. When you consider certain things about Jaina as a character being a really good pilot, like a natural pilot, like her father, Han, which you can use that as her argument, you know, flying the Falcon already, and both complain about the compressor and even being able to bypass the compressor. But at the same time, she's also dubbed the Sword of the Jedi by Luke, who... when you look at, like, bringing balance to the Force, it might not be Luke again, it would have to be Rey. And in the books, the EU, Jaina had to end up facing her brother who went to the dark side, who became Darth Cadus, and she ended up having to kill him, even though she didn't want to kind of end his reign of terror, if you will. So, like, if they do decide to follow that, you know, do make her Luke, or Han and Leia's daughter, it's one of those things where it is going to follow that EU a little bit more, which would be nice to them bring some of that stuff back. Donya, I know you've read those EU books. What do you think about that, if you were to argue with that?
I mean, I wouldn't dislike it. I don't think... I think more that they're
than, more than the father, son, and daughter?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of ripping off the EU a little more. Because, like, I adore Jaina, like, so much. So,
my cat's named Jaina, so, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, if that turned out to be the case, I would hate it. I don't think it is going to be true. But, yeah, I don't completely dislike the idea.
At this point, the most popular theories are Rey is either Leia and Han's, Luke's, Obi-Wan's granddaughter, And then there's been other ones, but then the other one is, oh, maybe she just, like, maybe her parentage isn't important, but the fact that they're saying, like, her parentage is revealed in the next movie, to me implies that somewhere in some form there is something of a story to
like
be,
the
or
parentage
a reveal
not,
to
and
be
also, I think there. My having, biggest thing about having... the parentage, the biggest thing about the parentage is Luke's lightsaber calling to her. Like, that was Anakin's, then Luke's, and that lightsaber... You know, like, I get it going to her because she's light side and good and all that, but, like, you would think it would be some significant to it. Some significance
well,
to
think,
it.
I mean, but if she was Leia's daughter, she's still as much a Skywalker.
Thank you.
Aww. And also, like, not to bring up Harry Potter and not to say that wands and lightsabers are the same thing, but Harry and Voldemort's wands had an attachment to one another as well, and they weren't related.
But they were linked together through something also.
Yes. But they weren't related.
So, that's true. You know, I get it. So, all right, moving on. What other theories do you guys have? I've said my piece. What other theories do we have? Danya, you haven't come up with any of yours. Yours is blank on the document here.
No, I know, because I said before we started recording that you guys took all of the theories that I would have wanted to have.
Well, you could share my theory with me, so we can agree that, you know, Luke is the father.
No.
Okay. Aww. So you can agree that Rey is Luke's daughter then, right? So we can at least be on one page together.
Is it Rey the Gray?
Well, yeah, Caitlin, do you want to... You have two, and I have one left. Do you want to do one?
Well, I don't really want to get into the Kylo Ren as a double agent because we're running long, but I that theory first came out, I remember reading it after the movie and going like, oh my god, it's like a Snape moment. And then I found this article that I linked in the document that kind of goes over how it's very unlikely, and I just really appreciated that one. It listed the whole theory when it was first kind of thought of or went viral, and then it came up with how it's improbable. So there's that.
Hey, Chris Taylor wrote part of this article. He wrote how Star Wars conquered the universe. He's incredible. I met him at Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, there you go.
We went to a lot of the panels together, and we are pretty good friends with that. Saw his name at the top and was like, hey,
yeah,
I know
so
that dude.
Read the article because it's really good. And then my other favorite one is Rey the Gray.
I do like Rey the Gray in the sense that it does pull in a lot of the stuff that we talked about during the, me and you, Caitlin, talked about with the Baze and Churrit conversation, pulling stuff from The Force Awakens novelization, the general, the wills, and then we also have the book that Luke has in the trailer, and it's time for the Jedi to end, and it's time for something new. So yeah. I like that idea, and I think it's also, you know, I like it, but at the same time, like, that could happen with Rey still being Luke's daughter.
Well, I'm not saying it isn't, but, and then here's the other thing. In the poster, when you, like, she's holding up the lightsaber, it goes blue to red, and she's in between Luke and Ben, so it's very visual. Mm-hmm. And then if you think about her, most of her, or if not all of her costumes, are gray in color. She literally is Rey the Gray.
I'm, like, neither for or against the theory. Like, it's like, oh, if it happens, that'd be really cool, but if it doesn't, it's not like it's the end of the world.
Well, that's the same I feel for all these theories. It's like, oh, you know, if it does, it does. If it doesn't,
well, I think it's right. I think what it comes down to is it's Star Wars, so whatever it's going to be, we're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
True.
Or I hope so.
Like the Han Solo
the
film.
The Porgs are
it.
Actually Snoke's henchmen.
They like report. Don't feed them after midnight.
Oh, they have really big eyes, so they like record what's happening.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway,
all right,
cool.
Ben, you have one more. Did you want to do that?
There's
or
one more? Yeah, and this comes less from like the film and more of just like recent events. So this theory, which I kind of have had since the days when we maybe couldn't have talked about this theory because it was sort of insensitive at the time, but after Carrie Fisher's passing, I kind of had this thought by the way they were going about it as far as Leia's character, that Leia, before Carrie Fisher even passed away, that Carrie Fisher, maybe script doctoring, or maybe even Ryan Johnson, came up with this idea that Leia was actually going to die in this next movie. And
debunking
coming from the fact that after Carrie Fisher died, you know, of course, like, it was, you know, like, a human being has died, like, we don't want to talk about the Star Wars part of it, you know, but after that, about a month later, when they were talking about, first the news came out that they were going to, not alter anything that Carrie Fisher had done in Last Jedi. And then they were going to, after that, say, well, we're using footage from 7 and 8 to, like, do stuff for episode 9, and then Colin Trevorrow came in and they started rewriting part of 9, and then that kind of went silent, and then I don't remember if it was Star Wars Celebration or D23, when Todd Fisher came out and said, actually, she's not in episode 9 at all, whatsoever. I just think this was, like, on Lucasfilm, a way to just say, like, and also she wasn't going to be digitally recreated. That was a theory going around as well that was said by some people. And so going off of all of those things, which are very kind of just different ways of going about the situation, falling flat almost, ending with Todd Fisher just saying, oh yeah, she's not in episode 9 whatsoever, but we're not altering episode 8. Unless there's some really creative storytelling, I'm thinking it was just a way to firstly distance himself from the tragedy of Carrie Fisher's death, because A, it's a spoiler, if the plan all along was for her to die, and, like, how awful would it be if they, you know, Carrie Fisher passes away, but then they're like, oh, but it's okay because she dies in Last Jedi anyway, you know, like, it's this really awkward situation that you don't know how to best go about.
So they've already talked that back, that the original intention was that in episode 9, Leia's role was going larger. So she was going to have a bigger role in episode 9 than the previous two films.
Was that before or after?
After she died.
Yeah,
it was after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they came out and said that the original intention was that Leia's role would be bigger in episode 9.
Right.
But they were not going to amend her role in episode 8, they were going to leave it as it was. Which means, I think, whatever happens, it's going to happen.
I'm kind of half and half on that, only because, the only thing I am kind of a little on and off about that is because of the fact that info came out after Carrie Fisher died.
Before, too, in rumor form, that Leia has a smaller role in episode 8 and her bigger role will be in episode 9. Like, that was a rumor before. And then it became official after the fact. So it's one of those things where it's like,
I genuinely don't think Lucasfilm, considering how emotionally attached fans are to Leia and to Carrie, and considering how soon after her death this is going to be, I doubt that they're going to put something like that.
Right. I mean, my kind of thought behind that was, like, I agree with you, but if that was the original intention all along by, like, Carrie Fisher herself, and for the story that's what they wanted to do, I feel like it'd be more of a disservice to change that.
But
I totally understand what you're saying about the whole, like, the rumors of her having a larger role in episode 9.
Well,
but
it wasn't rumors. It was Lucasfilm.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is...
It was rumors before, and then it became the official statement. After.
Yeah, the official statement came out after Carrie Fisher had passed away. So, my whole thing was that so many things were being said that were very different about how they were going to handle the situation in such a weird space of time, with it all ending with, oh, she's actually just not going to be a 9 whatsoever. My first initial thought was kind of like, well, what if they're just, like, not necessarily, like, covering it up, but, like, diverting people's attention.
Because
had they not said anything, like, you know, people would be like, okay, why aren't they talking about what's going to happen in episode 9? with Carrie Fisher. But yeah, I don't know. It was just a thought bubble that I had, so I figured I'd share.
Yeah, my biggest thing with that, like, I agree with you, Donnie, is like they've announced it, and I think it was also when it comes to like what's going to happen. I think that also came from everywhere on the internet. Lucasfilm only had one official response, and then they responded when they actually were flying, Trevorrow over to work on the redone script to kind of rework the story. So it's one of those things where I think they had every intention of Leia, you know, being bigger than nine. I did see something recently. If Lucasfilm, knowing now what would happen with Carrie Fisher, would Han Solo have been killed off in The Force Awakens and it been reversed if they knew that she wasn't going to be available for episode 9? To me, I don't think that... I think that at all. Like, sorry. I wouldn't agree with that at all, but I know it was something that was brought up recently on the internets. Again, the internet's a big place, yeah, but...
I would go with that only because had Leia gone to get Kylo Ren and bring him back, like, she would have succeeded. She's freaking Princess Leia. Like,
yeah,
she would have been like, she would have gone all angry mom, and he would have been like,
she would have just grabbed him by the ear and dragged him back. Take that mask off, come with me, and been done.
No, I think they picked Han because they knew that Han was easier to kill off.
Well, but, and it's also one of those things where Harrison Ford had been wanting to kill the Han character off since Return of the Jedi, so he finally got his wish. So I
feel like that negates, like, her role in Part 8, like, oh, she's not going to be available, so we might as well just kill her off now.
Yeah, like, no, I don't think they would do that at all.
My argument being, like, maybe it was Carrie's idea.
Yeah.
Just maybe it was best for the character.
Well, because that's why they did kill off Han. Was because Harrison thought he should have been killed in the original trilogy.
Right, yeah. Whereas maybe instead of just saying, oh, the character needs to be killed off, just because, well, that, and also maybe, like, because I know that back in the 80s, Harrison Ford was, like, equally famous for Indiana Jones, so he was like, well, you know, I feel like this character has nowhere else to go, but maybe Carrie Fisher was thinking, like, oh, this would be, I don't even know the context, I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe she thought of something for the character of Leia that would help her develop, like, fully, full circle as a character, and maybe that included her death in some way. I don't know.
Well, I feel like if it was going to have happened, it would have happened in 9, not in 8.
Right.
But even then, I don't know. I don't feel like the natural conclusion to this is that all three of the original trio need to die. Like, well,
yeah. There's that too.
You know, I don't feel like you need to end. I don't feel like the end of their story has to be that they die. Like,
right.
I feel like.
What if it was the case where she still loves Ben enough to sacrifice herself to save him? And that's what changes Luke's mind about him, even though Luke...
No,
I don't know.
No,
I'm just saying.
Absolutely not. No.
Anyway,
I'm
moving
sick
on.
Of that. That's a fridging trope, and I am dying for the betterment and movement of story of men, and I absolutely hate that trope with, like...
Well,
In
the argument of this one, though, it would be a mother for a son.
Kylo Ren in a second.
I don't care if it's mother for son or whoever it is. Like, it is a trope that I hate.
Well, that
I hate this idea of
Han just did that. Why would they repeat it with the mother?
Yeah,
I know. Like, it would cheapen Han's death anyway. But anyway, moving on. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. As always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Ben. Is that it?
And may the Force be with you.
Oh, okay.
And also with you.
You
can never end it properly.